The voice you are about to hear belongs to a fictional character. The events do not. They are unfolding across Northeast today. This is Niall's story. In Newcastle upon Tyne, East and Wallsend, one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, physics graduates who want to teach cannot access the training places that would put them in front of students desperate for qualified teachers. Here is how the Treasury's spending rules turned willing teachers into call centre workers.
I grew up in Wallsend, watching my dad weld ships that would never be built again. When the yards closed, he came home with oil-stained hands and 20 years of experience that suddenly meant nothing. I was 8 then, and I watched him retrain as a security guard because that was what was available. He never complained, but I saw how it changed him. At Newcastle University, I fell in love with physics, not just the equations, but the moment when a complex idea suddenly clicks for someone. I spent hours explaining quantum mechanics to my flatmates, drew diagrams on napkins to show my younger cousins how light behaves like a wave and a particle. During my final year, when careers advisors asked what I wanted to do with my first class degree, the answer was obvious. I wanted to teach. I wanted to be the teacher who makes physics make sense, especially for kids from places like Wallsend who get told science isn't for them. My dad worried about job security at first. His generation had learned not to trust institutions that promise stable work. But when I explained how desperate schools were for physics teachers, how every secondary school in the Northeast was advertising for qualified physics staff, he understood. There was real need here. That felt like something you could build a career on. I applied to Newcastle University's physics teacher training program in February 2021, excited to start that September. The admissions team was encouraging. My application was strong, my subject knowledge excellent, my motivation clear. Then they mentioned the bursary. The government had cut physics teaching bursaries from £28,000 to £7,000. Budget constraints, they explained, as though this was a natural law rather than a political choice. Still, I applied. I was accepted. But £7,000 to live on while doing unpaid placement work? I ran the numbers, rent, food, travel to different schools. It was impossible. I deferred for a year and took a job at a call centre, thinking surely this was temporary. Surely next year would be different. In 2022, I applied again. This time, the university explained that the Department for Education had further reduced training places for the Northeast, despite national teacher shortages. Treasury spending rules, they said. Each region gets allocated places based on a national formula. The formula apparently decided that the Northeast needed fewer teachers, even as schools here advertised desperately for physics staff. I tried a different route. Schools direct at Wallsend Community School, where Mrs. Henderson had taught me GCSE physics and sparked my love for the subject. She remembered me, encouraged me to apply. The head teacher wanted to hire me. They'd been advertising for a physics teacher for 2 years with no suitable applicants, but they couldn't access training funding. The government pot is empty, she said, as though the government that issues British pounds had somehow run out of them. I looked around that meeting room. The classroom was there. I could see it through the window, with its broken whiteboards that could be fixed, its lab benches that could be restocked. Mrs. Henderson was there, ready to mentor me. The students were there, arriving each morning to physics lessons taught by substitute teachers who couldn't explain why electrons orbit the nucleus. The need was there. I was there, qualified and eager. What exactly was this empty pot? preventing. The building existed. The mentor existed. The students existed. I existed. With a first-class physics degree and 2 years of experience explaining complex ideas to anyone who would listen. The materials could be ordered. The curriculum could be taught. As a last resort, I looked into moving to London, where bursaries remained higher. But relocation costs, London rent, the deposit for a flat, it might as well have been Mars. The same government that had no money for teacher training in Newcastle somehow found money to maintain higher bursaries in the capital. That's when I started to understand something I hadn't grasped before. Every person who told me there is no funding worked for institutions funded by the same government. The Department for Education, which sets bursary levels. HM Treasury, which allocates spending between departments. Newcastle University, which receives government grants for teacher training places. All of them funded by the government that issues the currency. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still at the call centre, still watching job adverts for physics teachers that go unfilled. Still meeting other graduates who wanted to teach but couldn't afford the training. We exist. The schools exist. The students who need us exist. What doesn't exist is the political will to connect us, disguised as an accounting problem that treats the government like a household managing a weekly budget. This isn't just my story. Walk through any constituency where people want to work, where the work needs doing, where someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. The decision was made to keep it locked.
What Niall experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where spending failed to justify never spending, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. Think of tobacco companies in the 1970s, selecting the few studies that found no link to cancer while ignoring hundreds that proved the opposite. They weren't lying about those few studies, they existed, but they used them to avoid the obvious conclusion. Every time Niall was told there is no funding, officials cherry-picked examples of teacher training programs that faced challenges while ignoring the thousands of successful teachers working in classrooms across Britain. They pointed to regions where recruitment was difficult, while ignoring the physics graduates standing in Newcastle, ready to train. They cited Treasury spending rules and budget constraints as though these were laws of nature, while ignoring that countries like Finland and Germany train teachers successfully with government investment. They treated the rare cases where public spending faced obstacles as proof that public spending never works. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. And in Newcastle upon Tyne East and Wallsend, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Newcastle upon Tyne East and Wallsend ranks 1 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG, placing it in deprivation decile 2. The constituency has 1,221 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Grants totalling £44.9 million were recorded in 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by The Blocked Britain.